Welcome back to News and Views here at News Talk 1010 WCSI 98.1 FM. I'm News Director John Clark. News and Views is brought to you each week by the Columbus Area Railroad Club located in Johnson County Park. This morning we're talking with the candidates for state representative for District 59, which represents most of Columbus and Bartholomew County. Up next, we have Dale Nallen, who is the Democrat who is running for the seat. Dale, thanks for talking to us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Dale, I know this is not your first go around, but let's, for the listeners who may not be familiar with you, can we talk a little bit about your background and why you're running for this seat?
Yes, my wife and family and I moved to Columbus in 1985 when I started a teaching position, teaching math at Columbus East High School. From there, I moved to Central Middle School, where I taught for 10 years. And since 1997, I have been teaching math at Columbus North High School. And for the last 22 years, I've been the math department chair at Columbus North and at Northside Middle School. One of the biggest reasons I'm doing this is because of education. We have not, as a state, been doing a good job with education. Another big motivator for me to step out and do this is that I am tired of government at all levels, but especially at the state level, being run or overly influenced by lobbyists and special interests.
Dale, we talked about your occupation. Can we get a little background on your education?
Well, I have been a classroom teacher in Indiana for 41 years. I have been president of the Indiana Council of Teachers of Mathematics. I was appointed by Arne Duncan, Barack Obama's Secretary of Education, to serve as the 12th grade teacher representative on the National Assessment Governing Board. That's the board that oversees the nation's report card. So for 8 years, I represented 12th grade teachers across the nation on that board and learned a lot about assessment. What else? I have, in the community, I've been active. Oh, you asked about teaching. Sorry.
No, where you went to school, basically.
Oh, okay. I did my undergraduate at Alma College in Michigan and with a bachelor's degree in mathematics and psychology. And I got my master's in math education from Michigan State. I went on and took courses for gifted talented endorsement through Purdue University. And I've taken other graduate courses from different universities.
So with the pandemic affecting budgets all up and down the spectrum here in Indiana, any thoughts on what the effects will be and what the challenges will be from COVID-19 on budgeting next year, since that's a big part of what the legislature does?
Right. It will definitely be a tough year in terms of budget. Do I know the answers to that? I do not, but I'm a firm believer in tackling tough problems like that and working things out together, establishing priorities, and do the best we can do.
Any thoughts on, I've heard the county highway engineer talk about the decrease in people driving, meaning a decrease in gas tax, which means a decrease in road funding for local and state wide. Any thoughts on how to patch that hole?
Well, there's going to be a decrease in basically all of our tax revenues. Many here in Columbus, many people with secure jobs went down to 4 days a week from five. So, and other people lost their jobs. So the income tax is going to be down. Gasoline tax will be down. Sales tax obviously will be down. So I don't know that we're going to patch those holes for this year's budget, but we need to figure out how to cope with those holes. At the same time, the needs of many people are up. I mean, the pandemic has made it clear that we have people who are just barely making it, and the pandemic has pushed people over the edge where we have people that need more help too.
There's been some talk in other states. I haven't heard a whole lot of it here in Indiana, although there were a few rumors and people talking about it, about the questions of whether the governors should have used emergency powers to take the actions they took due to the pandemic. I know there was the a flurry of announcements that in Indiana that the governor should have called back the legislature to make those decisions. What do you think about the governor's use of emergency powers, and does that infringe on the legislature?
So I've spent a lot of time the last few months, actually since July, knocking on doors and talking to voters. And that is something I've heard from not a large number of people, but for some people, that's the biggest issue that's bothering them right now, is that they feel the governor has overstepped his bounds. If they have issue with that, we need to think about how to make it more explicit in our Constitution, because I don't think, according to the Constitution, that he has overstepped his emergency powers. It's a tough situation. I am not going to fault him, because he's in a very tough situation. We're in a 100-year pandemic, and I think he's, in many ways, he's doing the best that he knows how to do. Could he have called the legislature back for an emergency session? Possibly. I think there were concerns of what other things might come out of that. I wouldn't have been opposed to emergency session, but I, at the same time, don't think he went beyond what the Constitution says he's allowed to do.
So, not a whole lot of questions about schools on this particular interview, but I did want to touch base with you on school testing. The governor, essentially, they've thrown out the penalty for teachers, as I understand it, based on the tests that weren't even taken this year. Any thoughts on, and then last year the legislature passed the civics test. The students have to take the U.S. immigration test and pass to see that they know how Indiana and America works. Any thoughts on what we're doing with testing and what the legislature should be doing with testing?
Well, okay. So my own personal thought of this, as a teacher who's been involved in testing from the beginning, when the state first implemented testing. First of all, I can't say that I have actually seen more negative impacts on schools from testing than I have seen positive. But my personal dream would be that the legislature is required, every legislator is required to take our high school graduation test and see how they do, because I think there's a perception out there, first of all, that these tests are such minimum competency that it's terrible, that the passing rates are terrible for us. And I think we have quite a few people serving in our legislature that would not pass the high school graduation test. So I think that'd be a tremendous thing for them to do if they're requiring kids to. Often we hear schools getting bashed over their test scores, and I would like to see some of those same people take the test. That was not your question, but I had to throw that out there. In terms of grades that the schools get, well, first of all, they finally decoupled teacher evaluation from test scores. And that was research and teachers and anyone that understands education tried to tell them that in the beginning, that that was a futile thing. It was an unwise thing. When I, as a department chair, when I set up schedules, I want my best teachers to teach the most challenging students. But at the same time, if they're going to tie test scores to those teachers' students' scores, then what teacher wants to take on a class that has a high percentage of special needs students in it? Or we have classes when students fail Algebra 1, we put them back into Algebra 1 to take it again rather than moving them on. Well, who wants success in that class is not measured the same as success in an AP calculus class. That was a failed policy from the beginning. And I don't know that I answered your question. Ask it again.
Well, I mean, I think that was it. I just wondered what your thoughts were on the direction we should be taking with school testing now that everything is basically shaken up and up in the air after the pandemic.
I would say overall, our goal for testing should be to inform students and teachers and parents. And too much of our emphasis on testing is on grading and punishing instead of informing for instruction. Research has shown, I don't want to get too much into the details here, but there are two different kinds of assessments that students take. They're called formative and summative. Formative assessment is what really improves achievement, and we spend very little time or money training teachers or really working with formative assessment.
And then my last issue-related question, I want to talk a little bit about election security. Has Indiana kept pace with what we need to be doing to make sure that people's votes are counted correctly and that machines are not being tampered with or any other nefariousness going on? What do we need to do to make our elections more secure?
Well, this isn't exactly security, but I think there's two issues that always need to be considered whenever we're thinking about elections. And one is security and one is participation. And it's can be a little tricky. You don't want to sacrifice one for the other. And too often we have policies that do just that. We're one of five states that are not expanding the mail-in voting this time, one of five states across the nation. Many people that I have talked to knocking on the doors have expressed disappointment in that. They say the governor's excuse is that people are going to restaurants, people are going out, and that's true of some people, but the people who are concerned about going to vote are not those people. So that's probably the biggest disappointment to me. And we did a large-scale mail-in voting in the primary, and it was secure. People at the county clerk's office check signatures, and they will vehemently defend the security of that, and there's no reason that we couldn't have offered that safe choice to people this time. I talked to people who really didn't want to go in and vote. At the same time, they didn't want to check a box that wasn't totally truthful in terms of the reasons. And to me, there's just no excuse for if mail-in ballots are safe, then let's do it and give the option to people. And I think that would increase voter participation. In terms of election security, I think one move, and I don't think we've done this across the state, but in Bartholomew County, we've gone to the paper printout, which I think is a great thing in terms of election security. I think the bigger security in terms of elections, we hear a lot about voter fraud. I would worry much more about cybersecurity in terms of voter elections, and that's where the paper ballots are important.
Lost my place. Let me try this again.
That's okay. I don't know if I answered the question.
No, I think you did.
I don't want to be one of those politicians that switches the question, but sometimes when you get started, it's like, wait, was that what he meant?
Dale, is there anything else that people should know about you or that you'd like them to think about when they're making their decision?
I wish that every voter could meet me and get to know me, but there's too many voters and we can't do that. But anyone that has met me knows that I'm really not a politician. I don't think along any, I'm a Democrat, so I don't want to say I don't think along party lines, but party lines aren't my first priority. People are my priority. And that's one reason I spend so much time talking with people at the doors. I am basically an introvert, and it was a pretty tough thing to start doing that. But once I started talking to people and ask people what they care about, I have learned so much about the people in Bartholomew County. And that's the kind of representative I want to be. I talk a lot about that I'm not being funded by special interests. But I think the more important thing is that I don't want to serve special interests. I really want to find out what people need. And I know people aren't all in agreement on that, but still, I want to feel the pulse of our community instead of the people that are the movers and shakers in Indianapolis.
We've been talking this morning with Dale Nowlin. Dale is the Democrat running for the State House District 59C, which represents most of Columbus and Bartholomew County. Dale, thanks for talking to us this morning.
Yep, thank you.
And we did have to cut the interview with Dale a little bit to fit the airtime, so you can listen to the entire interview on our website at 1010WCSI.com. Thanks for listening to us here at News and Views on News Talk 1010WCSI at 98.1 FM. News and Views is brought to you each week by the Columbus Area Railroad Club located in Johnson County Park. I'm John Clark. We'll be back next week with more news and views. Hope you have a great weekend.